about three or four times a year. CAP, as a ministry, we put on events to try to engage our non-Christian clients with the gospel. So we were going down to Christchurch for the first time ever as an organization to do an event down there. And we had organized Pastor Nu from Elam Church in the center of Christchurch to come along and do a gospel message. And as we were getting ready the night before, we got a message through from Pastor Nu saying, I'm feeling like pretty dodgy. I'm not sure if I'm going to make it tomorrow. I'll see what I can do. I'll let you know. It's like, great. That's like the whole point of us coming down there is for this gospel message. So we were kind of on hold. So we traveled down. We went to, what's that wildlife park in Christchurch? Arana Park. We went down there, took about five or six families from the CAP Ministries down there. Showed them a pretty amazing day, had an amazing barbecue, and then we were kind of waiting for this text come through from Pastor Nu. There was no text. So Robin, who was organizing the event, started to say, well, what are we going to do then? Who's going to do this? She's like, Hamish, this is awesome. Like, okay. So she kind of, you might need to step in and cover. If worse comes to worse, and we're desperate, you'll have to do the gospel message. Like, okay. So the day kept on going, and there's still no word from Pastor Neil. It was getting kind of time to start going back to the church before we're going to have dinner and the gospel message. And Robin's like, I'm really excited. It's going to be you. Like, okay. So I was trying to think, how am I going to connect to these non-Christian clients? How am I going to share the gospel with you guys in a way that's going to be relevant? And how's it going to inspire them and connect them with Jesus? And that's really exciting. An opportunity to talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus about Jesus and what Jesus is offering them and what Jesus can do for them and bringing them into relationship with God. So I was starting to pick my brain, trying to, okay, what am I passionate about? What can I share about? And how can I make that relevant to these guys? So one of the things I loved about Arana Park, I'm a big fan of zoos and that sort of thing. They've got these buffalo there. I don't know if you guys have ever seen buffalo out in the zoo, but I love buffalo, bison, buffalo. And they had these buffaloes at the zoo. That's amazing. But when I was reading the sign at the zoo, it was talking about how like 150, 200 years ago, there was like, I don't know, 1.5 million buffalo in America when the settlers first arrived. And in the like mid-70s, they were down to like 400 buffalo left in the whole of America. That kind of made me sad, so I thought, these guys would have seen the buffalo, they would have seen those, so I'm gonna use this buffalo as a means to connect these guys to Jesus. Like, how do you connect people to Jesus through a buffalo? But I started talking, when it came time to share about the gospel, I shared about the brokenness of the world. And I was using these animals at the zoo, these beautiful animals that are so amazing. Say, look, these animals are amazing, but because of the brokenness of our world, the messed up way that society operates and the strange value systems we have, these things were nearly extinct. Isn't that sad? And I said, look, you guys have seen these amazing things today. It's sad how broken the world is. And I went from the brokenness of our ecosystem and nature, and I linked it back into the brokenness we experience in our own lives. Each of you guys here this morning, you've engaged the CAP service because you've seen brokenness in your own life. I know some of you are here because of a broken relationship. Some of you are here because of a broken past and the story, backstories you've had. I've heard you. I've talked to you. I talk about the brokenness in their own life. And because I've identified the brokenness we saw together and aligned myself with them, I was able to talk about the brokenness in their life because I'd earned the right by talking to them that day. And then I could talk about the answer to brokenness. The brokenness doesn't have to define us as people because God made a way to undo the brokenness, that God has done a thing to restore all that is good and right. And that was done through Jesus. I was able to introduce them to Jesus. And it was so exciting to see these people who had various levels of understanding of Jesus listening and seeing the brokenness of their own life and how Jesus could be an answer to their brokenness. It was really exciting because we're very careful, we ask these kind of questions. Okay, who here wants to respond to that message? People responded to that message and invited Jesus into their life that day. It was exciting to be able to connect with someone, to bring them on a journey of meeting Jesus, and to see them make that response to Jesus. And that is, seriously, my favorite work memory from last year, the chance to introduce a few new people to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that's great. And I know that as we sit here this morning, that there are people here that want to do that or have been doing that and sharing Jesus. There are some who are willing and capable of doing that. There are some here who may be willing to do that, but really not really sure. How do I talk to Jesus to somebody? There may be people here this morning who feel capable about talking about Jesus, but maybe they aren't feeling so willing to do that. Or maybe you're sitting there saying, that's great, Hamish, I'm glad you got to do that, but I don't know how and I don't really want to. But I think as we look at what we're called to do as Jesus' people, that the willingness and ability to share the gospel is something we're all tasked with. All of us are tasked to talk about Jesus. All of us have been given a story to tell at our own meeting with Jesus. So as we look at this passage here this morning, we're going to look at how Paul shared a message about Jesus and what his message can tell us about our message and what we need to say about Jesus. I believe that when the Holy Spirit inspires someone to write stories in the Bible, they're there for a reason. Not every single event that happened in the early church is in the scriptures. Not every single sermon that was preached is recorded for us. So when God does go to the hassle and the point of including a message from one of his people, I think we need to read it and learn from it. We don't need to memorize it. We can't go ahead and memorize this sermon that Paul gave to the church of Pisidian Antioch and roll this out every time we meet a person who doesn't know Jesus. Because let's face it, most people, if you preach this sermon to, would be like, what on earth are you on about? That makes no sense to me. What are you talking about? So we can't just say, look, here's a sermon. We're going to copy this every time we preach. Because this sermon is gobbledygook to 95% of our community. They don't know who Moses is. They don't know who Saul is. They don't know who David is. It makes no sense to them. So how can we take the principles shared in a message like this and take them into our context, our daily lives, and use it to powerfully impact people with the gospel? Well, here's some key pointers, I think. So in verse 14, we hear this. From Perga, where they went to Pisidian Antioch, on the Sabbath they entered the synagogue and sat down. Now you may think that's a pretty harmless comment. Paul and his mates turned up in a new town and they went to church on a Sunday, or a synagogue on a Saturday, as it happens. So what's so big about that? Well, Paul knew that one of his main audiences for this gospel of Jesus would be the church, would be the Jewish church, the synagogue. As people who already had a familiarity with God and were expecting a savior, Paul knew that by going to where they were, he would have an opportunity to share Jesus. And the first thing that we need to think about as people who have a story to tell about Jesus is intentionality. Are we intentional about sharing Jesus? Is that part of our mindset and our makeup? As we go about our daily lives, is Jesus on the shelf? We take him down on a Sunday and put him back when we're finished. Or is Jesus something central to our lives that motivates and drives our everyday actions? When Paul arrived in the city, he intentionally went to a place where he knew he had an opportunity to share the gospel. As God's people, we are all told that our mission in this world is to be ready to share the gospel. The Great Commission, which you've probably all heard 1,000 times, tells us that. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So Jesus' instruction to his people is to go and make disciples. As part of our daily walk, as part of our daily life, part of our responsibility is to be making disciples. So we need to be intentionally putting ourselves in places where we have an opportunity to make disciples. Now for those of us in our own homes, we have opportunity to disciple and raise up our children. As we minister to one another, we are helping each other grow in discipleship. But whereabouts outside of the church context are you actively involved in making disciples? Now that doesn't always look like preaching sermons. That doesn't always mean about explicitly talking about Jesus. That always won't look like praying for people. But where are you, by your conduct and your intentionality to live and represent Jesus in your life, are you making disciples? Now, one of the things I've struggled with for a number of years is that I have very limited opportunities to be intentional with sharing Jesus. I come to church, I have my home group, I go to work in a Christian environment. My contact with non-Christians is really poor. And one of the struggles at the moment is asking myself, how do I put myself in a situation where I can better witness to Jesus? Do I need to change jobs to get out of my Christian bubble to engage with non-Christians in a non-Christian work environment? Is that something I need to do to have more opportunity to share about Jesus? Do I need to make more of an effort with my neighbors? Do I need to put my kids in non-Christian extracurricular activities so I can meet some parents? What do I do to intentionally put myself in a place where I am able to contact and engage with non-Christians? For many of you, you'll have that opportunity in your work environments. Some of you will have opportunity in your families. Some of you will have opportunities in your school environments. But where am I able to intentionally and purposefully represent Jesus? Paul and his companions, when they arrived in Pisidian Antioch, they saw that that place and the opportunity was in the synagogue. So they intentionally turned up when they knew people were going to be there. But when they turned up, they didn't just turn up and sit back. They turned up and they were ready. We need to be ready to share about Jesus. I think it's fascinating this how this plays out. They turn up and the scripture is read. Verse 15, after reading from the law and the prophets, the synagogue's rulers sent word to them saying, brothers, if you have a message of encouragement for the people, please speak. Now, it's probably a common courtesy for those days when there was visiting people from other towns, especially someone who had a background like Paul as a noted member of the Jewish community. When he turned up, it was an extension to them, would you like to come and share? Now, Paul hadn't got there and demanded a place to speak. He didn't turn up and say, look, I've stopped the service. I've got important breaking news. Listen to me. But he humbly went in and waited for his opportunity. But when there was opportunity, when the invitation came, he stood up. He motioned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. He was ready when the time came. He wasn't shy. He wasn't backwards about it. But he took the opportunity because he was ready. And that's one of the things we need to be aware of as people who have a story to tell. Having a story to tell doesn't mean you need to jump up at every opportunity and shove it in people's face. What it means is having it ready so when an opportunity comes, when an invitation comes or a door opens, that you're ready to say something significant and important. My boss, Sam, who you guys may remember, he came and launched the Debt Help Center here a few years ago. He was so excited this week. He's recently become a coach of our release group program, which is helping people with life-controlling issues like addictions and stuff. And he's a coach in their group. And this week, they've had this guy coming along who's been involved in the church on and off for a while. And his boss at the release group, Kerry, he rang Sam this week and said, Sam, this guy, I've been talking to him for a while, I've been praying for a while. I gave him this Amazing Exchange booklet, which is like a gospel tract. This week, I want you to ask him about that booklet. I want you to ask about what he thought of it. I feel he's ready. So Sam, you need to ask and you need to follow through. So Sam he's passionate, but he's a bit nervous. So he emailed a few of us around the office and said, guys, I'm going to talk to this guy tonight about Jesus. So he packed up his courage, and next day, you can see him at prayers, just bouncing around like this. You can see the excitement bubbling over him. And when we finished our prayers time, he's like, guys, I led the guy to Jesus last night. And everyone was so happy. But he was intentional and ready. He knew there was going to be an opportunity to talk about Jesus, to ask about Jesus, what someone thought about Jesus. And when the opportunity came in his group setting, he took the guy aside, and one-on-one, he said, what do you guys think of that tract I gave, that Amazing Exchange booklet I gave you? What do you think of that? The guy said, that was pretty good, eh? Like, are you ready to make that exchange? Yeah, I think so. Okay, do you want to do it now? Yeah, okay. Well, that would lead him in a prayer of commitment to Jesus. But he was ready. When the opportunity came, he was ready to say, look, there's an exchange we can make. Your sin and your brokenness and your burdens for the freedom in Christ. Are you ready to make that exchange? And he was. And it's exciting. But unless someone asks that question, unless you're ready to say, look, this needs to be done, it won't happen in and of itself. So we need to be intentional, and we need to be ready. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. We need to be prepared in season and out of season. If someone today on the street or in your family or at school this week or at work this week was sharing their struggles, their uncertainty, their brokenness, their fear, are you ready to speak about Jesus into that situation? Are you ready to show them the love of Jesus? Are you ready to care for them? Are you ready to journey with them? Are you ready? I encourage you to become ready. But you may say, that's fine. It's all well and good that you're talking about being ready, but what do I do? How do I do that? We're very lucky that this passage talks about what to do next. The next thing, we've got intentional, being ready. And the next one is being connected. Being connected. You see what Paul does here is really, really good. So when he stands up to preach to the synagogue in Pisidian Antioch, he says this, men of Israel, and you Gentiles who worship God, listen to me. The God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He made the people prosper during their stay in Egypt. With mighty power, he led them out of the country. He goes on and on and on about this. But what's significant about these words that he chooses to share with the people in that room? Well, first of all, he identified with them. He says, the people of Israel chose, the God of the people of Israel chose our fathers. He put himself in the room with those people. He wasn't talking at them, he was talking with them. He identified with that group of people. He related to them. He connected with them. He spoke a relevant message. As he goes and talks about this historical context of the Egypt, Exodus, and Saul, and Samuel, and David, he's connecting to all these historical points. They're in a synagogue meeting where the Old Testament scriptures were adored and read and honored. He connected the people in that room back to those scriptures. He was relevant. He was speaking their language. Now, for most people, if you started up a conversation with them about Jesus and started talking about the Exodus from Egypt and Samuel appointing Saul as king of, people would be like, they'd be out of it. They don't care. No one cares about that. Actually, I did meet a Messianic Jew the other day, and that was really interesting, but even if I talked to her about this, I'm not sure she would have cared, particularly about the historical context. But this message was relevant to the people in that room. This language was relevant to the people of that room. They understood what it meant to have the Exodus. They understood what it meant to go from Saul to David. They understood this expectation that one of David's descendants would become the Messiah. This is all relevant. This is all language they understood. So this is important for us to remember. When we are seeking to talk about Jesus, we need to connect with them where they're at. We need to relate to them where they're at. We need to be relevant to their situation and their story. We need to select to use language that makes sense to them. We need to select to use language that isn't going to put them off or offend them or confuse them. We need to be relatable, relevant, and to select language that works. Now, for most people, going back to the Old Testament scriptures isn't going to work. So you need to say, what is going to work with this person? How do you figure out what is going to be relevant and relatable to a person you want to share Jesus with? You listen. You listen. Listening is the key to being relevant and relatable. If you're going to bring the message of Jesus to somebody, you need to listen first. You need to earn the right to speak by listening. You've got to earn the right to speak by caring. One of the sayings I've heard quite a bit is, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. If you speak at them, they aren't going to care. But if you've taken the time to listen to them, they're going to listen to you because they know that you care. And you aren't just talking at them, you're talking with them for their benefit. So take the time and listen. Understand their story. As you listen to people, it's amazing what information they share with you. And they talk about their day and their family and their life and how they feel. They're giving you screeds of information about who they are and where they're at. And as they drop that information in conversation, you're gathering it up like a nut gathering squirrel gathering nuts, storing it away for the time when it's right and ready to talk about it. And when you've recognized in them a struggle they're going through, when you've recognized in them the pain that they carry, and you've earned the right to speak to that, we need to be ready to speak into that situation and connect to their struggle, connect in their language, connect in their pain, and show them the answers. They're going to be relevant to them and useful to them and life-changing for them, and not just hit them with a cookie-cutter script or a cookie-cutter gospel presentation that fits for all time. We need to talk in a relevant, relatable way to the people that we've grown to care about. So what do we talk about? When we've got this opportunity and we've earned the right to speak, what do we speak about? Paul makes that pretty clear. In verse 23, he starts, "From this man's descendants," David's descendants, "God has brought to Israel the Savior Jesus, as he promised. Before the coming of Jesus, John preached repentance and baptism to all the people of Israel. As John was completing his work, he said, 'Who do you think I am? I'm not that one. No, but he's coming after me, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie.' Brothers and children of Israel, and you God-fearing Gentiles, it is to us that this message of salvation has been sent." So he goes on and explains the story about Jesus and how Jesus is their Messiah they've been long waiting for, and that through Jesus there's forgiveness and justification. When it comes time to speak to somebody about their life and how their life can be radically transformed, we need to be talking about Jesus. Jesus is the answer. If a person is going through struggles in their life, if they're going through pain in their life, if they're feeling down or they're feeling depressed or they're feeling unfulfilled or empty, what is the answer? The answer is Jesus. We need to talk about Jesus. We can't just hand out self-help tidbits. We can't just hand out fortune cookie wisdom. That doesn't work. That doesn't make any difference. What makes a difference is Jesus. Jesus truly is the thing that makes a difference. When Paul was speaking to this room full of expectation of a Messiah, he said, "Look, Jesus is that Messiah you've been waiting for, that one's been looking forward to for so many hundreds of years. Jesus has come and is the answer. This guilt that you feel as God's people, this law that you hold up so high and honor so much, that actually just casts you as a failure and guilty, that's all undone, because being just all that brokenness is justified and taken care of by the blood of Jesus, and now you have forgiveness." So to that audience, this idea of justification and forgiveness of sins was really relevant because they felt the burden of the law as Jews. So we need to show people how Jesus is the answer for the brokenness and the struggles they have in their life. It may be loneliness. We can share how Jesus brings you into an eternal relationship that cannot be broken with the Heavenly Father, and brings you into a body of believers that will be there no matter what. If it is guilt, we can talk about how Jesus takes away guilt. All the brokenness and wrong you've done in your life is taken away in the blood of Jesus. If it's inadequacy or insecurity or feeling unworthy, we can talk about how they are created in God's image, and that through Jesus they are being restored and transformed and restored into the likeness of God. Whatever a person's innermost and deepest struggle is, Jesus is the answer. Because the one thing we need more than any other is Jesus. By finding Jesus, meeting Jesus, having forgiveness of sins, having our right relationship with God restored, and becoming part of the great restoration and healing that God is doing in the universe, people find their place. So show them how Jesus makes a difference in their lives. Show them how Jesus is the answer. We're told that in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to Father except through me." Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is life. That's amazing. That's significant. How does a person find their way forward? They meet Jesus. How does someone find the truth? They find Jesus. How does someone get life when life seems so overwhelming and so bad? They find Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Acts 4:12 tells us that salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We can give people all the nice, friendly advice in the world. We can give them all the practical help in the world. We can do all this nice, fluffy stuff in the world. But if we don't give them Jesus as the answer, we give them nothing at all. We save off the inevitable, crushing realization that they'd missed out on the one thing that really counted, which is relationship with Jesus. So we've talked about being intentional in sharing the gospel. We've talked about being ready to share the gospel. We've talked about connecting with people, meeting them where they're at, being relatable and relevant and using their language. We've talked about how Jesus is really what we need to be talking about. Find a way to get the conversation to Jesus. The great preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, who's one of my favorites, he said he'd go to any length, he'd cross any river, climb any fence, climb any mountain to find Jesus when he preached. He'd always make sure that Jesus was in his message because he knew that Jesus was the answer. And we need to make sure that we are finding a way to make Jesus the answer for the people that we need who need to meet him. Okay, so you've talked about Jesus. And you've shared Jesus with somebody. What do we do then? Like, this is something our church, I think, is really good at. I think our church as a denomination and as like reformed people, we talk about Jesus really well. Yeah, we're pro-Jesus, it's in the Bible. But one thing I think that perhaps we don't always do that well is require a response from people. This is Jesus, what are you going to do about him? You'll notice that when Paul is wrapping up his message here, he gets to verse 38. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from by the law of Moses. Take care that what the prophets have said does not happen to you. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if someone told you. That's some serious stuff here. He tells people that they need Jesus for forgiveness. He gives them the incentive. If you know Jesus, you will receive forgiveness. If you know Jesus, you'll have justification of all your sins according to the law. He meets all the requirements for you. But he then makes it serious, and he makes it urgent and imminent by saying, look, if you guys miss out on this, you're going to be those people who are going to get it in the end. Now, this doesn't mean that we have to preach a hellfire and brimstone gospel. You can't grab your friend and say, look, you got to believe in Jesus now, or you're going to go to hell. There may be a time and a purpose where that is relevant, and it may be useful. But we need to make sure that people understand that what we're offering here, our relationship with Jesus, the truth about Jesus, isn't some small, trivial matter. It's not. It's serious. We need to say, look, if you make this transaction, if you make this exchange, like Sam talked about, if you come into relationship with the living God, this is transformational. This is life-changing. This is amazing. Do you want to make this exchange? Do you want to live in the fullness of knowing who you truly are? Do you want to truly find your purpose in the world? Do you want to understand why the world is the way it is and what the future holds for our world? These are amazing, significant things that we can offer people. But we need to make those connections. We can't just talk about Jesus out there somewhere and let it drift off into the ether. We need to take that and bring it and say, look, this is what's on offer. Do you want it? Do you want to take this today? This is a serious question. This is life-changing. This is your defining point of your life. Is it that important to us? Is that how we feel about the gospel? Is the gospel that precious to us that it is the defining thing of our life? Or, as I said earlier, is it up on the shelf? You take it down on a Sunday and put it back there when you're done at church. Or is it something precious that you're going around to all your friends and family and colleagues and neighbors saying, look, I've got this amazing thing. I'd like to share it with you. You need it. It's going to transform your life. To be someone who's ready and willing and capable of sharing the gospel isn't rocket science. And some of you will be more comfortable than others. Some of you will find it more natural than others. But each of us has the resource to be able to do this. The Holy Spirit is within you. The Holy Spirit is able to guide you and lead you into these conversations. He's able to inspire you with words that are going to be impactful and meaningful. What we need to be is ready and willing. Each of you who has met Jesus and experienced Jesus in your life can speak with power and authority about who he is and what he has done for you. That's an important and powerful message that you carry. You don't have to be me. You don't have to be able to get up on a Sunday morning and preach for 40 minutes, whatever it is. That's not who you are called to be. You are called to be you and share your story in your relationships, in your context, in the way that God has enabled you to do. Whether that's through love and care and support and mercy and practical help, whatever that looks like, that's part of how you are sowed into the world and part of how you are making disciples. Sharing how God has made a difference in your life this week. How's your week been? Well, I felt that God's been really good this week. I feel like I've been going through a hard time. I felt I learned something this week when God said, are you being willing to share Jesus as part of your life with somebody else? And sometimes that will be all that it needs. If you can show people in your everyday conversation how Jesus makes a difference in your life, are they going to be more interested in knowing Jesus in their life? All of us have a story. All of us are capable of talking about this great friend we have named Jesus and the difference that he's made in our life. But my question is, are you going to be willing? Are you going to be intentional? And are you going to be ready to do that? One of the great things of living in this day and age is that we have no shortage of targets to talk to about Jesus about. We live in a post-Christian society. There are plenty of times we can talk about Jesus. But are you going to be willing? Are you going to be capable? And are you going to make the biggest difference in a person's life that they're ever going to know? Let me pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you have such an amazing message for us. We give you thanks for the fact that you would send your son into the world to pay for all the brokenness and the sin and the corruption and the ugliness of this world. It's an amazing thing that the perfect God of heaven would pay the price for all the brokenness of earth. Is amazing, Lord. And we can tell this message and share this message. And Lord, I ask that you would make us willing and capable of doing that, Lord. We pray for opportunity this week. We pray for opportunity in the coming weeks. We pray that you would make us people who are messengers of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that we would see the fruit of that. We pray that we see people come into your kingdom. I pray this would excite us and inspire us and move us. And I pray, Lord, for your glory through all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.